Excited to be back, excited to be able to start the year with this idea of the Lord is good. And maybe you're here tonight, and as we were singing that song, you felt like you know, everybody was doing it, so you were saying those words, God, you're so good. But maybe you're struggling with that. Like, God, if you're so good, then why am I this? Why is this happening? Why this and that? And so I want you to know that I get that. I genuinely get that. I know what it's like to be in a position where even you know that he's good, to say it out loud, depending on where you are in your life, may not come easy. And so tonight, we just want to take a moment to cover that and to discuss that idea of God being good. You know, in a year, if you look at year 2023, my guess is that every single one of us went through something. Whether it's in a major scale or in a minor scale, we went through some challenges. The reason why I can be so confident about that is because two things. That if these two things are truth, then we can be confident on that statement. One, that this world is broken. If it is true that this world is broken, and two, if it is true that sin is running rampant in this world, then it's just a matter of time for every single one of us to endure or to be faced or to have to handle or have to deal with difficulties. And so year 2023 was not the exception, because if you start looking back, you can see in your life, I have no doubt that in your life there have been moments like that. And as we're starting a new year, unit year 2024, you know, we're almost at the end of January. By now, you probably figure out how to put 2024 on your, if you're handwriting it, not 2023. You kind of like already are in the motions into year 24. And so we also want to be realistic in the fact that there's going to be a chance that this year may have or will bring challenges. As a matter of fact, I would be confident in telling you that you will be facing some level of challenges. How big they are, how small they are, will differ from the person to person. And I know that it's not the most encouraging thing to say, but that is to set us up for what we're discussing. Because even though this year may be difficult, even though you may be faced with challenges, you can have hope, I can have hope, that we are not going to deal with those things alone. And so for us tonight, we're talking about that idea of tasting and seeing that he's good. Now, to be honest with you, I'm not proud of this. But when I was thinking about tasting and seeing, my mind immediately went to a place that I never thought that I would like. In fact, it's a place that I'm not proud that I have to carry this around, because when you hear about tasting and seeing, I immediately thought about this place that, and I know that I'm not up there like Pastor Brian, but Costco. I'm not the VIP. I don't have that black card, which I guess is a flex for some people, but not for me. There you go. All right. The VIP executive member, which really doesn't get you anything but that you get a black card. All right. So thank you, Pastor Brian. Yeah, you're good. But I'm not proud of that, because I used to be a hater of that place. I'm like, you're wasting money. You're buying so many bulks of things that you're not going to use. It sounds good in theory, but it's a waste of time. And then I went there to Costco. It was pretty nice. And this is not an advertisement to Costco. But here's why I thought about it. Because one thing that they do right, and I know that Sam's Club does that too, is that they are very strategic in placing usually a lady, with an apron, there you go, and some hair nets and glove, and she's standing there and looking like she hates her life. But she doesn't realize that she's spreading joy, that she is offering people a taste of something good for the most part, because there's other occasions where they get creative and they give you vegetables and you have to tell them not to, they say that. And so in light of that, you go there. And so if you're anything like me now with Jenny and when with my girls, obviously I don't get to do that anymore, because right now my focus is contain the two girls and contain Jenny so she don't go shopping too much. But back in the day when that was not the case, and we would go either to Sam Club or back at home in the DR, we have a restaurant, a place like that. you were just as strategic in finding those things. It's like a scavenger hunt that you're going around trying to taste and seeing whether or not the products that they were offering were good. Now, here's the reason behind why they do that. One of the reasons, or if not the main reason, is that usually they're either trying to put a new product in the market and they're trying to get a new buy-in, or they're trying to, they have a product that is already in the market, but they realize that they're not getting the revenue or the selling that they want. So they put it in front of people so that they will try it, they'll taste it with the hope that now they will become faithful customers. And so for some, it will work, but for others, it doesn't work. And yet they still follow that strategy. And the thing that is very interesting is that what makes a customer to be faithful or not are variables. And now, as we use that word, because we're going to be using it all tonight, a variable is something that is not consistent or that have or doesn't have a fixed pattern. So something that is not consistent has a fixed pattern. But variables like your budget, like your preferences, you know, if you're a picky eater, which those are the best people if you ever meet one. If you have, you know, if depending on, you know, if you have a loyalty to a product, those are the variables that would kind of say to you or would influence whether or not you become a faithful customer. Well, in a similar way, when you look alive, you and I have variables. If variables are those things that are not consistent, things that they don't have a fixed pattern, things that essentially what it's saying is that things that come at you at a random time, then the truth be told is that every single one of us at some point or another, we have variables. And maybe you're here tonight, and as we started our service, you didn't know what it was going to be about, but maybe you came here yourself with some variables. Think about it to be more relatable. Think about your, you know, those individuals that they come, that right now they're dealing with parents that they're considering a split. Parents that they don't get along anymore. And now they're the ones caught in the middle of that. They didn't see that coming. And even if they saw it coming, maybe they didn't see how quickly it would happen or how messy it would be. Now that's their variable. Maybe you were at work and you love your job and you were you devoted yourself. You were a good teamwork or a good workmate and you were enjoying your time there. And then suddenly out of nowhere, there's a new variable. Either you get let go or you don't like your boss or you lost the purpose behind what you were doing. Maybe it is that you either had a relationship, you had somebody that you held dear, and somebody either betrayed you or you lost somebody, unfortunately, or whatever it is, you've quickly realized that every single one of us face variables. In a year like this year, I wouldn't be surprised if that will not continue to be the case. If it is true that sin is real, and if it is true that the world is broken, then it's just a matter of time. So how do you navigate that? How do we deal with that? And the things that we have to consider is that a variable will heavily influence the way we approach each area of our lives. Whether or not you realize that or not, when you think of a variable, those things would influence how you approach your life, all areas of your life. If right now the variable that you're dealing with is, you know, your parents' divorce, that is going to influence everything about you. That's all that you think. That's what's gonna be. You're gonna be thinking about. That's all the things that are gonna be consuming you before you go to bed. Those are the things that you're gonna be thinking hard. How do I figure this out? How do I fix this? How do I this and that? And again, you put your own variables on that equation, and you soon will find that every single one of us have a hard time, or would have a hard time with those things. And if we're not careful, it's just the truth that our variable will heavily influence how we approach each area of our life. But not only that. Depending on what they are and how you would deal with them, you may either find deliverance or you may find yourself to be consumed by it. Now, when I use that word deliverance, let me do an asterisk to it. By deliverance, we're not saying that it has a lesser value. So talking about variable, let's say you lost somebody in your life. We're not saying that you getting over that person is minor, all right? We're not saying that deliverance is not equal to value. What we're saying by it is that for you to be able to continue life in the way that you were designed to live, in a way that brings honor and glory to God, in a way where you have purpose and you continue to have meaning. Whereas if you do not deal with those variables, you soon will find yourself consumed by them. You're not efficient. You're not doing what you need to be doing. You're not learning. You're not growing. You're not serving. You're not loving. You're not caring. And suddenly you find yourself trapped by this deliverance. And so in light of that, we have to talk about it. We have to talk about this and kind of set us up well for this year. You think about like when you go to Costco, and when you go to, you know, a place like that, Sam's Club, if that's your place, think about the dynamics of how you and I, or at least how I am. It's like you go into those places and you want to find those stations when they got food, and you're looking for them. And when you come to, when you find them, when you spot them, you become very tricky about it or strategic about it. You don't want the person to know that you really desire to eat one of those things. Instead, you go very casually. You act like you don't want to eat the thing. You act like you're doing them a favor, when in reality, you want to be there. And then you grab the food and you're like you start pretending like, oh, I'm a food critic and stuff. Like, oh yeah, it's missing some salt, you know, whatever. And you start playing in that way. And in reality, in your mind, you are just glad that you got something for free. You're just glad and you're just excited for the next one that you're going to get for free. But because you have to pretend that you are not this starving person, that you don't have anything to eat in your home, and that you go to Costco for a day to entertain your two daughters, you go there because you want to make sure that, you know, you want to act it out as if you're an expert. The thing that's interesting, though, is that when it comes to the variables in our life, we often have these preconceived notions about how these variables need to be resolved, endure, and removed in our lives. Every single one of us, we have preconceived notions about how those things should go, how we should remove them, how we should approach them, how we should remove them or resolve them. And the thing that becomes true of all of us, if we don't realize it, is that we suddenly become critical about it. It's like we pretend that we are like a food critic. Think about an individual that has been starving for weeks, that has not ate anything, and has no expertise on cooking, has no expertise about what is good food, and then you add the fact that he's very picky too, that he's only eat a certain things, and now you put him in a place where he's giving you a criticism on your cooking. He's a food critic. It's going to be very faulty. It's not going to be good. It's going to be terrible. And yet, that is how most of us, if not all of us, if we're honest, how we navigate life and how we deal with those variables. We become critics. Suddenly, if you find yourself in a rocky marriage, you become critic of any possible solution that comes your way. Suddenly, you think that you are an expert in marriage because of your circumstances, and so you want to make sure that you become critic of any solution that comes your way. If you're dealing with some level of emotional health issue, you suddenly become critical of whoever comes your way with some suggestions. If you are looking for a job, if you're struggling at your school, if you're struggling with a relationship, you name it, we suddenly become critical of whatever comes this way. And it's no wonder why suddenly we find ourselves in a position where we're consumed by it, where we're consumed by all of that. Because part of it is that we become critical of any possible solution, of any possible way. Well, today we want to deal with that by pointing us to God. You know, the whole idea of seeing and tasting that God is good. And so for that, we're going to be in Psalms 34 tonight, which is a wonderful psalm that David wrote. And we're not going to read the whole thing. It's going to be just verses 1 through 10. But as you're looking for it, just for the sake of context, we have to know what led David to write this. Because David is himself was facing a very unique variable. So David had been, had defeated David and Goliath, has defeated David and Goliath. David defeated Goliath, who was from the Philistines, this nation that opposed Israel, and they were out to get the Israelites, and they wanted to exterminate them. And he defeats them under the kingship of Saul. Suddenly, time goes by, and now Saul is jealous of David, because David not only has been anointed as a king at that point and has been told to Saul that he was going to be the king, but also he was loved by the people. So David goes out to get him, to kill him. And if it wasn't for Jonathan, his son, who gave him, hey man, my dad, he's coming for you, bro, like, hide, he probably would have died. But in the Lord's providence, he protected that. But as he's running for his life, as he's running to escape, we're told that in the book of Samuel that he goes to the Philistines. How ironic. He goes to the very people that he just humiliated. He goes to the very people that his king opposed. And he goes there to find refuge. So he goes there, he finds refuge. Not only does he find refuge, eventually they realize who David was, so they wanted to keep him as a prisoner. They keep him as a prisoner. And David, in that moment, thinks to do something very clever. He started to act mad, like crazy, like an animal, to the point that the king says, literally says, like, I have enough crazy people in my kingdom. Why you bring him to me? Like, let him go. And so David is let go. So in all accounts, David could have said, I found deliverance from my variables by my own strengths. I was able to be astute. I was able to be clever. I was able to do all those different things to find deliverance from my variable, which is what most of us, if not all of us, wish to be able to say. That whatever it is that we're facing, we feel that it's up on ourselves to find a solution, which is why also we become so critical. Because we think that we have to be the same, the heroes of our own stories, of our own struggles. And so David now writes this psalm. And I want you to read or to see the words that he says, that he chooses to say. This was to be supposed to be a song, something that was to be recited or read by people later on. But it says in verse 1, and here's how he started. And he like sends it from verse 1. Like he goes hard right away. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. He's not saying, hey, guys, like, I'm so excited or I did this. No, no. I will bless the Lord at all times. Even in that moment where I was trapped and I was in prison and when nothing made sense, like, why is it that a few chapters ago I was defeating a Goliath, a giant, and I was being paraded and celebrated, and now suddenly I find myself in this situation that makes total no sense. Now I am not only finding refuge in my enemy, I am apprehended by them. That's not what he's saying. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. I'll never stop saying those things. Verse 2, my soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. It's not me, Lord. I'm not, hey, everybody. I was very astute. I found a way out of it. I figured it out. I knew what to do. That's not what we're seeing here. It's like, I will make my soul boast. My soul will only boast on one thing, and it's on the Lord, the one who delivers. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hey, guys, let's come together and worship him, because he is the only one that is worthy of being boasted. Verse 4 is so powerful, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fear. I search for the Lord. I seek him out, and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fear. This verse right there could be his own message. But let's not dismiss what he's stating here. In that moment where he found himself dealing with a very difficult situation, that even as we're talking tonight, I'm not doing justice to the heaviness and the weight that David felt in that moment when he was running for his life. If you put yourself in that situation, nothing truly would have made sense for him. You could have said that he had no hope left in him because he had just been paraded, celebrated, and now he's in prison and the enemies that they were known for being vicious and aggressive and cruel. Why will you allow these things to happen to me? Why is it that this is the current condition that I find myself in? But then he's given the testimony that he searched, he seeked the Lord. He called upon the Lord and he answered him. And not only did he answer him, he delivered him. And that is such a truth that we should not dismiss. And then verse 5, he says, those who look to him are radiant. and their faces shall never be ashamed. Picture a sun coming out to the sun, and like suddenly your face is just like booming. You're not coming out. That when you're seeking the Lord and when he's answered to you, it's not like you are in this dark place that it, you know, like the winter in Ohio where there's the, you know, you're lucky if you see the sun. It's not that. It's radiant. It's like you are in a vision, Dominican Republic, which why would you ever go to Akron, Ohio? We don't know, but the Lord knows. But picture like something like that, what is radiant. The sun is on you. That's the effect of searching and being with the Lord. And then he continues, those who looked on him are radiant, and their face shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him all out of his trouble. Isn't that amazing? David is saying, in that moment that I was dealing with this variable, I cry, he heard me, and saved me of all my troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. That idea that, like, if you think about the old times when it says encamp, it's like when they were to take a siege of a city, or if they were to protect a kingdom, the army will either encamp outside to protect or outside to conquer. And in both ways, it applies that is what the Lord does, that it either protects from your variables or destroy or attacks the variables in your life. And so this is the imagery that David is using here that we get to see. And then he says this verse right here in verse 8. And don't miss it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger. But those who seek the Lord lack no good things. That's David's testimony. That's David's way of interpreting his variable. And maybe you're here tonight and you're not dealing with anything hard. And praise God for that. And I'm not wishing for you to start dealing with any hardships. But even Jesus, as he's dealing with his disciples, he was very honest with them and saying, hey, in this world, you are going to face many troubles. In this world, you're going to be facing with many challenges, with many situations. And so if you're not in one now, the reality is, again, that at some point, you will find yourself dealing with one. What is it that you will do with that? How do you navigate those waters? How do you find deliverance from those situations? David gave us a recipe here. Very clearly, he says, in verse 4 again, he sought the Lord, he looked for him, he searched for him, and he found in God someone that not only gave him the attention that he was seeking, but that he answered him. And not only did he answer him, he delivered him from all of his fears. And then again in verse 8, as he's encouraging the reader, say, hey, you may have not bought in on this product that we have for you. You may not be committed to this idea of following God. You may not realize who God is, or you may be indifferent. Maybe you're too critical about what God is telling you to do. But nonetheless, why don't you go ahead and give it a little taste? Taste it and see that the Lord is good. Because when you do that, when you seek the Lord, when you taste him and you see that he is truly good, you will find that there is no more fear in him, in those who seek for him, but also that they lack no good things. That those who seek the Lord, that those that in those moments of variables, they make it a purpose to go after God. They find themselves meeting someone that listens, that cares, that answers, that protects, and that delivers. And so with that, how do we navigate? How do we deal with those variables in our lives that are so difficult, that bring so much pain, so much grief, that consumes your day, that gets in the way of your joy, of your peace, of your purpose, of your commitment? How do we deal with that? Well, why don't we realize the invitation that he's given us and go for that? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Do you want to know how good God is? Do you want to know how good God is? Then look at the cross. There is no greater example of his goodness to us than what he did for you and me through Jesus. That you and I were born into a world that was broken, that is broken, in a world where sin is rampant, that each of us are not only born with sin, but that we love sin. We don't like to admit that, but we love to sin. We love to do the very things that opposes God. And in doing so, we are separated from God. And God could easily have left us there. God could have easily done nothing to fix that. Because it was not him who rebelled, it was us. And yet, in his goodness, he provided a way through Jesus so that whoever believes in him will find not only forgiveness of sin, but will also find eternal life, a relationship with God. And at his core, our greatest need at his core, our biggest, and it's not even a variable because it's not inconsistent. This is the reality of life. And as a reality of life, our biggest need is forgiveness of sin and our restoration in our relationship with God. And if God was willing to meet that, not only was he willing, he actually met that through Jesus, then what else could we face in our life that is so much minor in comparison to that, that he could not do? What else could we face in our life? What variable could we face that we could say as a critic and say, God, I know that you sent your son on the cross, but what you're offering to me now in this situation is not enough. It's not good for me. It's not what I want. You don't know truly what it is that I'm facing. What could possibly be greater than our core need, which is forgiveness of sin and our restoration to our relationship with Jesus? And if he already met that, what else could he not do? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And this is not the most exciting message to talk at the beginning of the year. It's not going to be, hey, let's talk about your New Year resolution and how do you keep them. But this is the message that I have found myself, to be honest with you, that I have felt the Lord has been speaking through me. Because I also struggle with variance in my life. And I will continue to face him, because the same is true of me as it is of all of us. One, I still have sin in my life that I need to confront, and then I need to go to God and ask for forgiveness. Although I'm fully forgiven on the cross, I still enjoy sin way too much. But not only that, the world that we live in is a messed up world. It's broken, where sin has a hold on it. And because of that, it's just a matter of time for me to find myself in a variable, and for you and I to find ourselves in a variable. How do we deal with that? Why is it that in those moments when we are in desperate need, we think that we are the solution? Why is it that in those moments where dealing with our greatest challenges, we think that we're the experts on fixing them? Why is it that we don't realize that there is a God that is available, that is ready to help, a God that is willing to help, a God that is just waiting for us to seek him so that he can answer and deliver? And even though that deliverance may not be what you deserve or what you think you want, it will be the deliverance that you truly need. All things works for good for those who love God. It may not be what you were hoping, but it will be exactly what you needed. So why not taste and see that the Lord is good? Why not go to him? As we get to a moment to wrap up, Nathan and Adam are going to come to the front to lead us in one more song. Here's what we want to remind ourselves. Variables will heavily influence the way we approach our lives. those variables that you're either facing now or will face at some point, they will influence the way we approach our lives. How you approach God, how you approach those near you, how you approach your career, how you approach your sense of purpose. So in light of that, the question that I have for you to consider tonight is, will you rid yourself of any preconceived notions and taste and see that the Lord is good? Again, the idea that when it comes to our variables, we all have preconceived notions about how they should be or how they should be resolved. And so when a solution comes our way, we become very critical. Preconceived notions lead to critical, to be critical, and then being critical leads us to be captive, to be consumed by those things. Will you consider tonight, if that's you, to rid yourself of any preconceived notions that you may think is what you need, and to instead to seek the Lord, knowing that He will answer and that He will deliver you, because the Lord is good. And blessed is him who finds refuge in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for the truth that we find in your word. Thank you for the example of David, Lord, that he could have easily just said that he found deliverance on his own accord, Lord. But clearly you see in him someone that had the heart and the understanding that his deliverance came from you. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here tonight that came with heavy pain, heavy struggles, or a heavy variable in their life, Lord, that you will meet them where they are. Father, give them the strength to be able to ask and to see and to taste that you are indeed good. Father, if there's any of us here that we are struggling with that concept that you are a good God, Lord, based on what we're facing, and based on how the world is going, Lord, I pray that you will remind them or point them to the cross, that they'll see in Jesus the greatest example of your goodness, that the fact that you as a God will send your son who did not make any, who did make no mistakes, who lived a perfect life, that didn't have to come to save us, Lord, that he was willing to do that, to be slaughtered on a cross like a lamb, as a payment for our sins and for our struggles and for our mistakes, so that in him we can find forgiveness and a way of restoration in our relationship with you, God. I pray, Father, that you will remind us of the cross so that we would have the proof that we need to know that you are good. Pray that every single one of us in here tonight that may find themselves dealing with some hard variables, Lord, that they will seek after you and that you will give them refuge, just like David said. Pray, Father, that all of us here will get rid of our preconceived notions that may keep us from seeking after you, that we will realize that we're not experts, that if we find ourselves dealing with some hardships, it's probably because we let ourselves there. Which means the more, Lord, that we need you. Father, I know that you don't dismiss any pain, any situation, any hardships, Lord. I know that you see us in our pain and our struggles, in our cries for help, just like David said, Lord. And so I pray that as we seek after you, that you will listen, just like we're told you do, and that you will deliver us in the way that is best for us. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are a good God. You didn't have to do any of that, and yet you still do it because that's your nature. And I pray, Father, that we will never forget that. We pray this in your name. Amen.